Welcome to Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast.
I'm Natalia.
And I'm Maddie, and we are two queer women who are obsessed with killing Eve.
Each episode, we go scene by scene and discuss villain Eve, the best kills, and the queerest moments.
Fair warning, we spend most of the episode gay panicking and making terrible jokes.
Proceed with caution. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
So before we begin, we do have a tiny announcement.
Yes. Okay. We have finally started a listener support on Ko-fi, our page. You can find us at Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/wearitdownpodcast. So on Ko-fi, you can actually buy us a cup of coffee for like $2 or $3. And we'll use that money to meet some of our stretch goals, like purchase another microphone, right? And also, hopefully, make stickers!
Stickers!
We really want to make stickers, y'all, but they're expensive.
They are, but we want to have a really good time and kind of just make this podcast better for you. So if you like what you hear, just check out our page. We'll also link it in our description, post it on our social medias. So stop by and give us some money for our Ko-fi.
Our Ko-fi. Buy us a coffee at Ko-fi. Adorable.
All right, so this week's episode is season 2, episode 2, called Nice and Neat. It was written by Emerald Fennell and directed by Damon Thomas. It originally aired April 14th, 2018. Do you want to hear the wiki synopsis?
Absolutely.
All right, so it's Carolyn introduces Eve to her new team before Eve briefs them on the Villanelle case. Villanelle, needing to lie low while she recovers, finds a good Samaritan to take her in. However, she should know better than anyone that appearances are not always what they seem. Eve finds out a secret that Carolyn has been hiding from her.
I feel like good Samaritan in that specific description should be in like quotations, because Is he a good Samaritan or is he just like creepy you man? You know, like, I hate him.
So what are your three words for this episode?
Ewy, Google, and creepy.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up, I think. All right, well, let's just go ahead and dive right in.
So the entire episode opens up, right, with Villanelle waking up in the back of the trunk, right? And this family is, like, unloading. Mm-hmm. And she's like, all right, gotta bust a move. And so she essentially leaves. And the whole time it's going, there's this song. It's called I'm Going to Haunt You by Fabian Del Sol. Mm-hmm. It's real jammy. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, so she sneaks out of the back. And the little girl sees her, right? And she does, like, the little, like, shh thing. And it's, like, the girl probably, like, I had the weird-ass dream.
Yeah.
With this woman in pajamas and, like, a suitcase just escaping, like.
And, like, clearly beaten up.
Yeah. You know? So, I found out recently that apparently there's, like, a deleted scene of the family, like, opening the trunk and seeing that all their stuff is missing and being like, what the hell? But then also, like, I think the dad makes a comment, like, is that, like, urine or something? So apparently she peed back there. And apparently it's canon, just, like, a deleted scene, but I'm not sure if that's correct. Also, I kind of find it hard to believe that she would be able to pee back there and that nobody would smell it, like, during, like, the trip, you know?
Yeah, that's weird. But also really funny.
Yeah.
It probably, people were probably like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, we need to take that out. But that's still really funny.
It's just something to think about, that apparently she peed back there.
Thank you for letting me think about that. That's
You're very welcome.
So she's finally out of the car, right? And then she's walking down in her iconic onesie, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the lyrics, and mind you, this song is still playing, right? And one of the lyrics that really stuck out to me was like, no matter where you try to hide, and I will haunt you, never keep you satisfied, so softly I remind you. I feel like that is very reminiscent of, like, the chase, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's reminding us as the viewers, like, we are settling back into that chase.
Yes.
You know, it is not done.
Especially because, you know, as she's walking off, we get the location title, right? Mm-hmm. And it's England. So we know that she's getting closer and closer to Eve. So, as we see her walking down the suburbs, right, she's, like, also, like, holding on to, like, her stab wound. And I think that's, like, two things. I think, one, it probably hurts. Like, she was, like, probably balled up in the back and, like, she's still healing. She still needs antibiotics. So, it hurts, right? So, she's holding it. But I think another thing is it's kind of a reminder to herself, right? It's, like, her motivation. Like, it's, like, Eve. Like, I need to keep going for Eve.
I like that. Yeah. She was like, I'm here to get my girlfriend.
Yeah, and, like, as she gets closer and closer to the camera, you can see that she kind of, like, gives a little smile, too.
I like that. I like that catch. That was really good.
Thank you.
And then, of course, we get, like, slapped in the face with the title card that, like, you know, those big, daunting vertical letters. And it's this bright blue background with that light cream-colored letters. And the blue this time reminds me a lot of the dress she wore in the hairpin kill. Mm. And I feel like that was, like, peak Villanelle, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as an assassin. And I feel like this episode is her truly at her lowest at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the contrast of it.
Yeah, and I just feel like there's a lot of contrasting, right? In this episode, there's a lot of juxtaposition between, like, who she once was and who she is now. Who Eve once was in her normal life versus now. Mm. So I'm excited to explore that this episode.
I like it. Then we have Eve in bed. and her leg looks fabulous.
Yes, I enjoyed it immensely. But, like, as it pans slowly up her leg.
Mm-hmm. So we see that she's lying there awake next to Nico, which the last time we saw her, she was also in bed with Nico, also awake while Nico slept. So this, to me, tells me that she probably didn't sleep much that night.
Yeah.
Also, notably, her hair is down. Obviously, because she's in bed, she was just sleeping. But I think it still counts, you know, as, like, her hair being down. Because to me, it symbolizes when she's actively thinking about Villanelle, right? And she is right now. And I think that her, you know, letting her hair down to go to bed is obviously a thing that people do. But I think it also symbolizes that Villanelle is her last thought at night and then her first thought in the morning. And probably her thoughts, like, in her dreams as well.
That's really romantic. I dig that. I really like it because, you know, of course she's wearing her hair down. And then the actions that follow in this scene are very reminiscent of, like, her delving into those thoughts and being very sneaky about it. Mm-hmm. Like, when she grabs a laptop and she's, like, tip-tapping away at the keyboard and she's, like, looking up, like, woman stabbed in Paris, like, mm-hmm. looking. Like, she's actively looking for Villanelle in her own little way.
Yeah.
It's a very private experience that she doesn't want Nico to, like, butt into, which I appreciate.
It's really interesting when she does search online, which, by the way, she uses Bing, of all things.
But they use Bing in this show. I don't understand why.
Yeah. But when she's looking at the results, one of them is the bread knife bandit, which I think is very silly, like, and also very French.
Yeah. And then Nico wakes up, right? And Eve is, like, quick to click on an ad for a women's shopping site, right? And it's really funny because Nico turns over and he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, are you shopping? And she's like, yeah. Like, trying to hide the fact that she wasn't just looking up, you know, where her girlfriend might be and how she's doing, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, you really have changed. Which affirms the fact that we already know that E doesn't indulge in shopping very often, if ever, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's really cute because she actually clicks on the dress and she adds it to her cart. And I'm like, she's kind of treating herself. Which I think is really, really cute in its own little way.
Yeah, and it's funny because we do get to see that dress later in another episode.
We do. Like, she commits, and she looks damn good in it.
She does. And when she does, like, add it to her cart, she, like, kind of gives a little smile. And I think this is her thinking, like, maybe I can make my husband happy and everything will go back to normal. And, like, I can be someone who shops online and has a normal life and doesn't search, like, women stabbings in Paris.
Yeah, but, girl, Eve, like, you... This is denial. Yeah. Like, through and through, you know?
Definitely. So then we switch over back to Villanelle, who's in, a laundromat, and we see her, like, in the reflection of the washer door, and she's just knocked out.
Yeah, she slept in a laundromat, which I think, I don't know, I've only been to a couple in my life, but they're always kind of seedy, so, like, but I'm happy she was able to go somewhere indoors, but I'm like, damn, this girl really had to, like... just find a place and plop, you know?
Yeah.
Her hair definitely looks real gross. Like, she looks like she hasn't showered in a while, and she's just, like, trying to make it. I mean, she still looks absurdly attractive.
And a woman comes in, like, wakes her up and, like, drops her some underwear in front of her, and she's like...
Your laundry's done.
Yeah. And then, you know, Villanelle sits up and she's just, like, really groggy and adorable. Mm-hmm. But she realizes that all of her drugs have been stolen.
And it's really funny because she was like, all of my medication has been stolen.
Yeah, and the woman, like, just kind of shrugs and points at a sign that says, beware, thieves operate in this area.
And Villanelle just chuckles and she's just like, you fucking asshole. But I think it's really funny because she's like, I have been robbed of the content that I robbed, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just so funny. She's like, how dare?
All of it is really funny. And then Villanelle, once again, steals, right? Because then she robs the random clothes that's there that someone left, I guess. And she even takes the underwear, which I think is disgusting, to just steal someone else's underwear.
I agree. But this girl needs to change, and I respect that.
Yeah, so she stuffs, like, everything into her little briefcase thingy, and she's, like, really grumpy. It's just precious. And then as she's leaving, she's like, hey! And she, like, spills over, like, the detergent thing or, like, the soap, and then just runs.
I love her being an asshole to other assholes. I think it gives me life. I think it, like, fulfills something within me, like, that I love.
I think it's because, and I think Jodie Comer might have mentioned this as well, is that it's what we all want to do, you know, especially with other assholes. You want to be an asshole back, but, you know, you don't. You just don't do that. But she does, because yeah. She is, like, feral, and she just does whatever.
I freaking love her. And then we go back to Eve, right, waking up. And they're chatting about the Alistair Peel case, which I think is fascinating, because she's actually divulging what's going on in her life mm-hmm. at work. And she has this great line, which is, no matter how rich or famous you are, you always end up with your dick out on a slab. That's so fucking funny. I think that's, like, exactly who Eve is as a person. She's just so dry, but so fucking hilarious. Yeah. You know?
And then when she's like, I nearly threw up, they had to get me a burger. And Nico's like, oh, so you're not completely heartless. And I feel like that's really rude.
It's super passive aggressive. And Eve is kind of taken aback. She's like, kind of flinches a little, like, that came out of nowhere. Like, I thought we were having, like, a civil conversation. Like, yeah. Whatever.
And I think that's the thing, is that, you know, Nico asked her, like, it's fine, like, you can still do this job, just talk to me. And then this is her talking, but he's still being, like, passive-aggressive.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, never gonna be good enough, you know?
Exactly. And then Nico starts asking about Villanelle, right? Like, he's like, oh, they think that she did and all these things. And then this is when Eve puts up her hair, because this is her putting up barriers.
Yeah, especially with Nico, I think it's really intentional with him, because he very much so is critical of her job, is critical of what she does, critical of, like, the choices she makes, which are often chaotic, but I feel like he's hypercritical of her, and so I think she's like, I need to be on guard, especially when he's making passive-aggressive comments like, so you're not completely heartless, you know?
Yeah, and I think for her, it's one thing to talk about, like, a dead millionaire, and another one to talk about her girlfriend, who she might have killed, right? And, like, as she, you know, talks about Villanelle, essentially, notably, she can't make eye contact with him.
Yeah. And then she switches gears, right? And she talks about how she had a dream about Bill that night. And she talks about how, like, she almost picked up the phone and text him the other day. And she was like, and then she's like, oh, you know what? Like, let's not talk about this. But I think she's trying to switch gears. And I think it's also her trying to remind herself, like, oh, like, Villanelle's not a good person. Like, yeah. I am worried about her, but I think it's her also trying to switch gears. And then she's like, let's not talk about that. And Nico says, like, we have to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has that line where he's like, I want you to know that I hear you and that I still respect you.
And Eve is so funny. She's like, gross.
Yeah.
And I do like the gender role, like, reversal in this. Because oftentimes we see women in the more, like, emotionally aware role. But I feel like in this instance, they're putting Nico as more socially and emotionally aware.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if he's the best at it, but he's more so than Eve. And Eve is the one being like, emotions are gross. Talking is gross, you know?
Yeah.
Which I feel like we stereotypically see in male roles. So.
Definitely.
I do enjoy that, and I feel like I'm happy they're keeping that up with this season so far.
And then they kiss, and that's gross. We're moving on. So we're back with Villanelle.
Wait. One thing I do want to note, though, which, you know, ignoring the kiss, they never say I love you or, like, anything really sweet, right? No,
I think the most is that she says be careful.
And then he's, like, kind of rude with her, and he's like, well, what a touchingly reassuring goodbye. And she's like, I'm sorry. And that's essentially the last words she says to him.
Yeah.
And it's, like, before, like, he leaves for his day and she goes on with her day. There's no I love you, you know, I'll miss you, have a good day. They're just weird together. They don't have that, like, emotional intimacy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I think some couples are like that, but it is kind of strange to see.
Mm-hmm. And you think that, like, as she's trying to, like, grapple with wanting that normalcy, she would try to maybe do, like, say I love you more often, or he would try to say it more. I don't know, it just seems weird.
Clearly, the fact that it doesn't come naturally to them is probably a sign that this marriage isn't It's not good.
This is not it, you know?
No, it's not. All right, so then we are with Villanelle, and she is at a grocery store, and she's wearing the stolen clothes, right? So, like, a really, like, washed out, like, yellow shirt, a frumpy, colorful cardigan, and a jean skirt, of all things.
But she looks so cute. I love this. I think she looks so cute. The cardigan is so cute.
I don't think this is a good look for her.
Okay, you can be wrong. I love it. It's so good.
The cardigan, maybe. She
looks so cute.
But everything else is not a good look. But anyway, so she's like walking through the store with her little shopping cart, and she's putting things in the cart. And I'm not British, so I might be super wrong, but it looks like she's putting in a jar of Bovril.
Like Bovril Pam.
Yeah.
Bovril Pam. Oh my God. Once again, if you have not seen Bovril Pam, please go check out Bovril Pam starring Jodie Comer. Phenomenal work.
Also, if you are British, let me know if it is Bovril, because I don't know much about nothing.
Don't know much about nothing. She's essentially walking around the supermarket, right? Like aimlessly putting things in her shopping cart with the intention of trying to pick up somebody who can she can essentially manipulate to use.
Yes.
Right? And it's really funny because she attempts to like approach a couple of different people, but she still gets kind of like, ugh, hobo, you know, kind of energy. Mm. Like, I don't have any money, you know? But there's this really cute moment where she goes to put on makeup.
Yes, and to me this reminds me a lot of the very first episode when she looks at herself in the mirror and she's like beautiful.
Yeah, and then she like pats herself down with like what is it called?
Powder,
yeah.
But she does put on makeup and she does look a little better, I think. Definitely still not at her best, and she still has like obviously been through a lot. But yeah, she tries to approach people and everyone's like, "No, sorry, I don't have any change."
And then eventually she does find the creepy man, right? And she kind of zones in on him. And, like, she's like, ah, yes, an easy target. As he's, like, stuffing frozen dinners into his, like, his hand cart, you know? Yeah.
So as he's about to check out, she approaches him, right? And, like, in manipulation mode, like, makes up a little story. Like, oh, my stepfather is outside. He, like, did this to me. And at first she's really nervous and he doesn't really know how to help or doesn't want to help. But I feel like the more that she touches him, which I feel like he doesn't have a lot of, like, female contact, like, physical contact. But the more she touches him, like, the more he becomes convinced.
Mm-hmm. Like, this man's straight. Like, she manipulates this man so well. He leaves everything he was gonna buy on the belt. And he just, like, he's like, okay, let's go. Right, which I think is, like, she's so powerful.
Yeah, and they go into his car, and then she gets in with him. And then, you know, he's asking, like, is there someone you can call? And, like, things like that. And she says, like, that she doesn't really have any friends.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's notable, too, is when she does initially get in the car, she is holding where she was stabbed. Like, she actually looks like she's in a lot of pain at this point.
Definitely.
So she's really desperate.
I also think it's interesting that when she says that she doesn't have any friends, like, it's not only true, you know, for this character that she's made up, but for herself as well. Like, realistically, she has nobody to call. Mm-mm. She has nobody to help her. The only person maybe would have been Constantine, and the last we saw him, she shot him in front of, like, a bunch of people.
Yeah, which I think is really sad. But then, of course, you know, she kind of moves on, and she is able to eventually manipulate this creepy man named Julian to, you know, use his spare room at his house. And at this point, I'm worried for her, but she's also still ultimately in control. So I'm like, okay, like, she's in pain, but she's got this, you know?
Definitely. At this point, I'm not really worried for her. The first time I saw this, I was actually more so worried for him. You know, because, I don't know, he was so fucking creepy. But I think the more and more that she spends time with him, the weaker she gets, and the less and less control she has over the situation. And I think that's the scary part.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that's when I start to become worried for her.
Yes, definitely. It's really funny because at one point he, like, essentially calls her an angel and likens himself to essentially, like, a knight almost, right? And she plays it up and she's like, oh, that would make me an angel or whatever. And he's like, haha, I guess it would. And then she's, like, smiling with him, but then when she turns away and it's, like, very clearly, like, only we can see her face, she, like, grimaces.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, this gross-ass man. Like,
yeah. Ugh, this loser.
Yeah. And I'm, like, this dude truly is, like, he's pretty basic, you know?
And then we see Eve walking, and the song When a Woman Is Around by Unloved is playing, which the last time we heard the song, she was on her way to Belinelle's apartment in Paris.
And one of the lines, right, is, "I'm nobody's fool." And this line, like, hits and then fades out right as Eve comes face to face with Carolyn.
Ooh.
And I think that line is really, like, foreshadowing of what is to come, in the fact that, like, Carolyn is going to play Eve as a fool, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then they have this really great exchange, which I think is really funny. Because Eve's like, "How do you always look so good? I mean, do you even sleep?"
And Carolyn is like, "It's my moisturizer. It's made of pig's placenta. It costs a fortune and smells like ass, but it is exceedingly effective."
And I love Eve. She's like, as they're walking in together, like, "Okay, yeah, that makes sense." And then, like, they walk in. She's like, "I don't mind smelling like arse." Like, she's
it's so really cute. Funny. And then Carolyn's like, "I'll send you the link." I just think it's so funny.
The exchange is so precious. And then, you know, they're going inside to the new job, which is Operation Manderley.
Yes, and Carolyn says that she told the rest of the team that Eve is an outside expert on female assassins.
And Eve looks really shocked because she's like, "Oh, that's a big deal. Like, I'm considered an expert." Like,
yeah.
I think that Carolyn knows. Stroke Eve's ego.
Definitely. So they walk in and we see the team, right? It's Kenny, Hugo, and Jess. And my question is, where is Elena?
Where is Elena? But I think it's important though, because as soon as Eve walks in, she sees Kenny and she's like, he's like, "Hi, Eve." And she's like, "Kenny." And they have the most awkward not hug, yeah. You know, which I think is really sweet because they're an awkward little duo, but they're the only ones left over from the last team.
They are precious. And then Carolyn explains, she says, Elena felt the job was no longer for her, which honestly, Elena would fucking never. Like, she was so excited about the job, so excited about Carolyn. Like, this just feels very lazy. Like, they were just like, anyway, we're getting rid of her. You know?
I think it's very lazy. And then, like, I think it's very, very strange because, like, they're like, yes, the one black woman that we had on this show has left. And then they're like, meet the new team. And it's like, in comes the next black woman to replace her. And I'm like, that's not good writing. That's not good casting, y'all. No. Like, don't be that lazy. Like,
yeah.
I'm really happy there's another woman of color that's on the show. But I'm also like, you can have more than one. Like, that's okay. You can have, like, a bunch. And that's awesome. Why don't you just put a bunch of, like, diverse people in the show? Like,
yeah. But it's like, they always have to have that one black woman, right? And then, you know, in next season, kind of same thing happens.
Yeah. I just think it's strange. And very much like a slap in the face to the character of Elena, who was fucking hilarious.
Oh my god, she was so good. I loved Elena. But anyway, then before, you know, she kind of says hello to everybody, Kenny kind of whispers, like, "Are you all right?" And she's like, "No." And then she's like, "Oh, hi." Like, it's so funny.
As someone with anxiety, I relate, you know, to be like, "Are you okay?" Never. Like, anyways, hello. Like, that's so fucking funny. I like Jess and Hugo a lot, actually. I wish that they had actually gotten to meet, like, Bill and Elena, and they could have been, like, one massive team. I don't understand why we are never allowed a team more than, like, four, you know?
Yeah, it's very strange. I like Jess. She's nice. I can't stand Hugo.
I really can't.
No, I don't know why. Maybe because, you know, he's, like, this, like, very privileged, like, rich, like, white guy who only talks about sex, and, like, his shirts are too tight. I don't know. I just don't like him.
I don't know. I think I enjoy him because he's really stupid, and Eve, like, calls him out a lot, which I enjoy, but I don't know. He's not around for long, so it's fine. And then, you know, we go back to Villanelle at the dollhouse, which is what I'm going to call it because there's just dolls everywhere.
Oh my god. The shot opens with just creepy-ass dolls, which, huge red flag.
Yeah, and he walks in, and, like, Villanelle's first words are like, "Julian, wow."
It's so funny.
And then he's like, "Oh, we should put them up." And then she's like, no, it's wonderful." And then he, like, literally looks at the doll and he's like, "Straighten up, Annabelle." And it's like, sir, why did you just refer to that doll by name? Like, that's so creepy.
And she says, like, "They're lovely." But she says this as she looks horrified. And this reminds me a lot of, like, season 3 when she goes into, like, the little knockoff Build-A-Bear shop, right? And she's like, "This is psychopathic." Like, I feel like that's what she's thinking now.
Oh, definitely. And also at this point, as a viewer, I'm like, all right, another psychopath. She found one. Like,
oh my god, in the wild. So she goes and sits on the couch, and you can tell she's in pain.
And she even asks him, too. She's like, could I possibly sit down? Because she's like, I'm so tired, you know?
Yeah, like, she's not well. And then she says, do you have any cake? like a child.
And he's like, no, but I can get you some.
And she's really funny. She's like, honestly, you've done enough. And then she pauses and she's like, lemon drizzle.
And he's kind of taken aback, like, oh, okay. And then he's like, I'll be right back. And then he leaves. But also notably, there are dolls also in this room. I hate it.
I think there are dolls in every room.
I hate it. Why? Who owns this many dolls and is like, look at all of them. I want you to see this as you walk around my house. It's so creepy.
It's very creepy. But yeah, Julian leaves and then she looks at her wound, which does not look like it's healing well.
It looks infected almost. Yeah. Like, unhappy. Very mm-hmm. angry.
Mm-hmm. And then she hears something from upstairs, which is spoopy.
Oh my god. And she sits up too, because she's like, what the fuck? And we're like, this man just walked us into this, like, really creepy dollhouse. He seems really, like, unwell, like, yeah. in that regard. And then we're hearing a dull thud overhead. Like he's clearly hiding bodies, you know?
Yeah. I think the first time I saw this, I was like, he's, like, captured another woman and, she, like, has her, like, upstairs, which is not too far from the truth.
Truly. But, like, my god, I hate this. It's very ominous. And I'm like, oh, no. Please be safe, Villanelle, please.
Yeah.
And as we marinate on that and take in the creepiness of that, we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back. Hi, y'all. We just wanted to take a moment to discuss COVID-19 and the escalating number of cases in the United States. In the United States, a disproportionate number of minorities have been hit the hardest by COVID-19 due to systemic racism that prevents access to proper medical care and personal protective equipment. As a community, it is our responsibility to take care of each other. Please stay safe and be aware. Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. We can all do our part to keep each other safe. Please remember to wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart when possible, wash your hands, and stay safe. We really appreciate all of our listeners, and we want y'all to stay safe too. Happy listening.
And welcome back. So we are back with Eve, who is looking very sexy.
She looks damn good in this episode.
Oh, yes, she does.
Oh my god, Eve, yes.
So she's kind of just being very pensive, and then Kenny walks in, and he asks, like, essentially what happened in Paris.
And Eve is really cute. She's like, I'm so glad to see you. Like, she needs, like, a lifeline. She needs an ally in this.
Yes.
Someone who gets it and isn't, like, judgmental.
Exactly. And you can tell that she really wants to say something, but then Hugo walks in.
And then we have the most awkward pause where Hugo is, like, just filling up a little, like, cup to get some water. But I swear to God, every time I've ever seen this scene, and, like, if I'm not actually actively watching, like, the screen, I'm, like, just doing whatever in my room, but have it playing in the background, I always think that Hugo is peeing.
Oh my god.
Like, the sound of it. Doesn't it make you think that he's peeing?
I've never thought about that before, no. I think I'm just so amused by the whole situation and how awkward it is. And the fact that, like, Eve and Kenny are just standing so close to each other and saying nothing. Mm-hmm. You know? It, like, he was like,
I think it's really funny because Eve and Kenny are both so awkward that they make just a giant awkward, like, bubble. You know?
So definitely funny. And it's so funny because as he's about to leave, Hugo says, are you two having an affair? And Eve is like, yeah,
like, okay, go, like,
yeah. And then she finally tells him, right, like, I found her, like, I found Villanelle.
And Kenny's so cute. He's like, what, where, like, where is she, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she finally confesses. She's like, Kenny, I stabbed her.
Oof. This is the first time she said it to someone.
And Kenny has a great reaction. He's like, what? What? Like, he panics.
Yes. And he's like, is she dead? And she says, I don't know. She disappeared.
The worry in her voice. She's so worried about her baby. Oh my god. It hurt. Oh.
I mean, also, I think she doesn't want to be a murderer. But yes, she is worried about her baby.
Let me make it romantic. Like... And Kenny's really funny because he's like, this is bad. And he's like, I know. She's like, I stabbed her. You know?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that, you know, the one person that she was able to confide in is Kenny. I think that's really precious. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also really sad that it's not her husband.
Not at all. And it's also really funny because she tells, you know, she asks Kenny, right? She's like, should I tell your mom or whatever? And because he asked too, he's like, does mom know? And he tells her, like, no, don't, you're withholding information on a case you're working on. And she has this moment where she's like, well, at least you are too now.
Oh,
like,
my God.
She's such an asshole. And the poor look on his face is like, God damn it, Eve. Like,
yeah.
I think that's really funny.
And then we cut to Eve giving a presentation, right? And we get the birth of, like, the wonderful gift that is Eve struggling with a projector.
Oh, my God. And she gets so upset when Hugo, like, shows her how to do it.
Yes.
Which, she's kind of an asshole in the process. Like, he's sort of flirty with her, which I don't like.
Yeah, like, when she's like, I can, like, I know how to do this or whatever. Like, I've got it. He's like, yes, miss. Like, kind of being like, ooh, teacher, student, like,
ew,
wink, wink. You know?
I hate it.
This one I'm telling you about Hugo, I don't like him.
But I feel like Eve puts him in his place. And also, I feel like Hugo ends up calling her out on, like, the sexual nature of her relationship with Villanelle. Which I feel like, as an audience, I enjoyed.
I guess.
So, anyways, she goes through and essentially gives him a debrief about who is Villanelle, the prime suspect in this case, right?
Yes, she kind of goes through, like, last season's kills. And it's, like, a good little refresher for the audience as well.
Yeah, it's good because she's going through all the kills, and then she also starts to say, she's like, there didn't seem to be a whole lot connecting them except for this female assassin, Oksana Ostenkova. And she gets to the original headshot we have,
mm-hmm.
right, of Villanelle, but then she clicks on to the most recent picture when she was in jail as, like, undercover, and she says, or as she prefers to be called, and this, like, weighty, beautiful, like, erotic silence is left. And, like, almost wistfully, she says, Villanelle.
Oh. And the way Eve cannot take her eyes off of the picture, though.
Oh, my gosh. She is lost. And it pans to them, right? And they're like, okay. Like, that was weird. She left for a minute. Like,
meanwhile, Kenny's like, anyway, I'm used to this.
He's like, this is a normal presentation, yes?
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be in love with, like, the main person, yes?
Yes.
Like, so funny.
And then she goes on to talk about Constantine and how he was her handler, but that Villanelle shot him in a tea room full of people. And then Jess is like, oh, she's sloppy. And I feel like Eve gets really protective here. She's like, no. Not usually. She's like, she's flamboyant and attention-seeking and instinctive, spoiled, easily bored. But no, she's not sloppy.
Oh my God. It, like, everything about that felt so sexual. Like, describing all the things that Villanelle is. Mm. Like, slightly angry, slightly, like, pent-up sexual tension, you know?
Yeah, it's like this fine line of being annoyed at her and impressed by her.
Mm-hmm. And, like, aroused by her.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Although there's no fine line there. I just think that's who she is. Like, that's, like, the basis of everything else.
Definitely. And then I really love when she's like, but no, she's not sloppy. Like, she's defending her.
Yeah. And also, she's very offended on her behalf. You know?
Definitely.
Like, how dare you? You know what I mean? One of the things that she uses to describe Villanelle is easily bored.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Eve could be also saying that about herself. That she's easily bored and Villanelle essentially excites her. Because they're very similar, right? And we've kind of picked up on that theme so far this season. And I think that is one they easily share. They're easily bored.
I agree. They are. And then she goes on and talks about Frank and then about Bill.
And she talks about how he was stabbed in a nightclub. And before anyone can say anything, she says, if anyone says it's murder on the dance floor, I will throw them out the window. Like, this is our first time really getting to meet this team, and this is how she responds to them. She's so blunt and direct and so funny. I really love Eve.
I really like that Kenny kind of gives her a reassuring nod.
Yeah.
Like, it's really nice, I think, for her to have a friend.
Yeah, and someone to also say, like, yeah, like, no one should say anything disrespectful about Bill. We love him, you
mm-hmm.
know? Like, you did well on his memory.
Yeah. And then we are back to Villanelle, who is stealing some, like, meds, right, from, like, the medicine cabinet, like, as she's pretending to take a bath. And then Julian calls for her, and apparently she said that her name was Elizabeth, right? And she, like, actively rolls her eyes because he is just so annoying.
He's so persistent. Love that word mixed with a gross man.
Ugh.
Hate it. It's really unique the way that they set up the shot. So it's what Villanelle is doing at the same time as what Eve is doing. So it's the back and forth of those two scenes.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy.
And what Eva's doing, though, is she's on her computer, right? Again, on Bing. searching Paris murder. And notably, her hair is down. Because she is, again, actively thinking about Villanelle, actively trying to search for her.
Yes. I really like the way that, like, the Eve shots are set up. Because, really, Eve is pretty dark. Like, everything around Eve is really dark. Except the only thing that's really bright is the computer screen. Mm. So, it's like, just like Eve, we are hyper-focusing only on this search. Ooh. Only on what she is doing right now, which is looking for Villanelle.
It's a really good catch.
Thanks.
But she does find an article that's titled Boy Murdered in Paris Hospital. And she, like, highlights the important part, right?
Yeah, which is announced that their prime suspect is a young woman who was admitted with severe stab wounds to the abdomen. And her face is like, yeah. Oh my goodness. She's like, she would absolutely kill anywhere she'd go, you know?
Definitely, like, definitely. She's like, that's her. I can sense it. I feel it in my pussy. Like, you know, it's like a spider, a spidey sense, but it's like my pussy's trembling. But I will say, I did read this whole thing, like the whole little like article, and they say that Gabriel is 12 years old.
You know, as someone who actually works with 12-year-olds on the regular, I'm going to tell you right now, he was not 12.
He was not.
He had to at least be 16, you know? Maybe, yeah. Or something along those lines. He was not 12. It's still fucked up. She killed a child, because that's a child, you know?
Definitely. But he was not 12.
He was all sorts of a teenager. I'm just shocked, you know? And Eve is really funny, because she immediately contacts the government communication headquarters, and she's like, I need the pictures. Send everything you have. And she's like, yes, it's urgent. Like, she's so desperate. Yeah. She's like, I need to see everything.
And at the same time, you know, it's going back and forth between her and Villanelle. And Villanelle is finally taking that bath that she
finally
wanted.
Finally. Remember back in Cafe Rodozhny in Russia, mm-hmm. when she was like, I want to go home and I want to take a bath. She's like, I'm really tired. Like, she's finally getting it after, like, being stabbed by the love of her life. You know, like.
Yeah. Ugh. Being in a hospital, like, just being cramped up in someone's random car, like, she's finally taking a bath. Ugh. And it's really fascinating when she, like, touches her scar, right? And she just smiles. And the way that she rubs it, like, the way that her fingers, like, move, really reminds me of last episode when Eve was touching the scar that was carved into the tray.
Oh, I like that. Ugh. Ugh. So tender.
And then we go back to Eve, who gets the email of the pictures of the murdered, like, baby boy Gabriel, right? Mm-hmm. And we see Gabriel, and we see that Gabriel is holding an apple, right? That Villanelle left in his hand with, like, a bite in it, which, first of all, sexy. But then Eve's dumb ass literally searches apple, comma, Eve. Like, ma'am, is this really needed? Like, to me, it has the same energy as, like, Bella in Twilight, like, Googling, like, the cold ones, you know?
I think, like, it just boggles my mind that the writers were like, she would never know. And I'm like, y'all, she works at MI6.
Yeah.
Like, she's considered an expert at this point, you know, by Carolyn's definition of an expert on female assassins.
I think what's, like, so funny is that when she does find, like, the images of, like, you know, Adam and Eve and the apple, she's like, oh my god. Like, she never, up to this point, she had no idea that her name was, like, a biblical reference. Like, she had no clue. No, oh, but I think, I mean, obviously this is done for the audience, right? To help us, I guess, understand. But I think, I'm like, why? We're also not that stupid.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not used to, like, killing Eve, like, trying to hold my hand this hard. And I'm, like, swatting it away. Like, I got this. Like, I get the reference. And, like, maybe not everyone would, but I feel like we're still able to draw some connections pretty easily. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just...
Regardless, Eve looks incredibly sexy here, so I forgive her.
I still can't get over the fact that she, like, binged. Not even Googled. She binged. I need to change my three words, apparently. Eve, or, like, apple, comma, Eve. Like, dear God. Why did she also put a comma? Like, the same woman who can't work a projector, I guess. I just... So fucking funny. Oh, my God. And then we get into Villanelle, right? And she's getting ready for bedtime at the dollhouse.
Oh, my goodness. And she tells Julian, like, I think I might need some antibiotics. And then Julian... I hate him. Because, you know, she's like, I might, you know, I might have tonsillitis. And so he's like, you know, open your mouth. And he fucking sticks his dirty ass grubby fingers into her mouth. The literally way she... Two fingers.
Oh, it's just... I thought it was three, but apparently men have larger hands.
We don't interact with them much.
I mean, like, I know, like, three, maybe.
One of them's your dad.
Like. Yeah, like, the other one's your dad, so... Oh my god, I hate it. And then, like, you know, he decided, and he's like, oh, you worry word or whatever. And she sighs, and you turn, and, you know, he essentially turns her down about the medication and stuff. And she looks, like, the little sigh she gives looks so, like, restrained. Like, I could literally slaughter you, sir.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think the fact that she allowed him to put his fingers in her.
Ugh, don't describe it that. Ugh. I hate it.
I hate it so much. We hate to see it.
But finally, you know, he leaves, right? And we're, you know, still, like, reminiscing over, like, you know, when she was once at her peak.
Yes.
Oh, and then, you know, Villanelle's getting ready for bed, and she turns, and there's just dolls everywhere. There's dolls on the couch. There's dolls on, like, the like, dresser with, like, the mirror. And I'm just like, ugh.
It's so creepy. It. It's so, so bad. And then, you know, she does fall asleep, and in the middle of the night, she hears a loud noise again. And so she grabs, like, this weird, like, cat, like, decoration thing. And it's really funny. Which, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it, sometimes, like, cat urns look like that. Like, after your cat passes away and, like, you know, it gets cremated, you can have your urn look like a cat.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a weird aside, but I respect it.
Like, I'm just saying, like, adding another level of creepiness, it's like she's, like, holding, like, a cat urn.
We don't know if it is, but we're going to call it that, I guess, at this point. But when she does grab, you know, the cat urn, I'm like, yes, kill him. I was like, beat him over the head, kill him, take his, like, bread and leave, you know?
She's ready to strike, too. But, you know, she's walking around the house and she finds, like, a locked door. So she unlocks it and goes in. And, you know, of course she runs into, like, this old woman and they both scream. And Villanelle just goes in for the whack with the cat urn.
But, of course, Jillian, creepy man, you know, grabs her arm and is like, no, stop. That's my mother.
And Villanelle's like, what's wrong with her? And he says, dementia. And then she says, thank God. I thought she was a ghost.
And, like, the tiny mumble of, like, I hate ghosts. Like, it's so cute.
And something about that makes me think that not only, like, you know, the Elizabeth character hates ghosts, but I think Villanelle is probably scared of ghosts. And I think that's precious.
We need that fan fiction where they go to a haunted house and Eve, like, holds her hand as they go through. That'd be so cute. Because
she's scared. And Eve being like, you kill people for a living.
And she's like, but I don't want to think about it after. You know, like, something cute. And then, you know, he locks his mother in the door. And she's like, why do you, like, keep her there? And he's like, she's been escaping. Or, like, you know, she would just wander off out of the house. It's better this way.
Yes.
And she's like, okay. But it's kind of foreshadowing the fact that, like, you know, he locks everything. He's going to trap her.
I definitely think that's what that is.
I hate it. It's very ominous.
And then what makes it worse is that the next morning, we see Julian is, like, watching her sleep.
Oh, my God. And, like, he's towering over her. And then she wakes up and she's like, oh, hello. Like, okay. And, but she tells him, she's like, I need medication. Like, and she gives him specific names. I can't pronounce them. But, you know, once again, it emphasizes that she knows her stuff. She knows, like, exactly what she needs, like, medication-wise to feel better.
I love women in STEM.
She is. She's a woman in STEM.
But, you know, she also says that she needs things from the pharmacy and, like, she wrote him a list. And he kind of reads it off, like, antiseptic, aspirin, ibuprofen, but then he gets to sanitary pads, and he has this really gross moment when he's like, I'll have to tell them they're for my girlfriend.
But she's, like, this girl's passed out, right? Because she's, like, she's not well. Like, yeah. Probably has a fever and stuff at this point.
Yeah.
And, but the creepy-ass smile he gives, like, like, I hate it. I fucking hate it.
And then he leans in and, like, kisses her forehead.
And I'm outraged. I'm like, I'm ready to reach to the screen and kill him myself. Like, yeah. I hate it. I hate it. I'm like, don't touch her without her consent. She's asleep. She's vulnerable. Don't touch her. Please slaughter him. You know? Like, I hate it. I hate it. Ugh. And then, you know, thank God. We're back with Eve. And I love that the whole, like, we just see Eve looking at a whole ass foot, you know?
Yes, she is. And then Hugh comes up and they kind of chat. And essentially, you know, Eve calls the Alistair Peele kill, like, subtle and boring.
Yeah. And, you know, she's talking with Higo about all of this. And he's, like, boring. And she's, like, relatively, yes. Like, Villanelle's an attention seeker. Most psychopaths are. She likes playing to the gallery. She wants it to be fun. She wants people to know when she's killed. She wants me to know. Mm. Oh, my God. She's so egotistical. But she also knows that that's what Villanelle wants.
Definitely. I think it's both. One, she is egotistical. But two, it's true. And Villanelle does want Eve to know when she kills, because Eve is special, and Villanelle makes Eve feel special, too. Mm-hmm.
And this is when it finally clicks for Higo, which is something that Eve is already thinking, right? And he says, it wasn't her. And Eve's like, it wasn't her. And the way she says it is very much so, like, I caught this. Like, I know Villanelle's kills. I know her style. I know her flair. And this isn't her. And then we're back to Villanelle, like, watching trashy TV with the mother.
They're watching the Jeremy Kyle show, which apparently is a real show, a British tabloid talk show.
Cool.
It got canceled, though, because one of the guests, like, was murdered or something.
What?
They were found murdered. It was this whole thing.
Oh, my God.
I think at the time this episode aired, it was still, like, on.
Maybe.
But not anymore.
Or maybe it was a rerun. I don't know. That's wild.
Yeah. Anyway, so Julian walks in and he's like, how are my two girls?
I hate it.
And he's like, I hate this show, terrible. And he like turns it off, which is really rude because Villanelle was watching.
And so was the mother.
Well, I don't know if she was even like in that same plane of existence.
Let her be happy though. Maybe that's like what brings her back a little, you know? I don't know.
But anyway, Villanelle asks him, like, to go to the pharmacy again, like, kind of, like, please. And can you, like, open the windows because it's so hot? But it's because she probably has a fever, right? Mm-hmm.
And then he's really gross, right? And about her hair. And he actually brushes it with, like, a little, like, doll brush thingy. And he's like, ah, nice and neat. Ugh. And I'm like, this man is so creepy. Like, he's treating her like she is a plaything, like a doll.
I hate it. And, like, the eyes that she gives him, like, she wants to murder him so bad.
And I do, too. The fuck? I hate it. And then he finally, like, leaves and he says, like, you know, whatever. And, you know, finally gets out of the way.
And then the mom is like, hello, dear. And, like, startles Villanelle, which I think is really funny.
It's so funny because she startles her to the point where, like, she drops the fake accent and she, like, slips into her Russian one.
Yeah. And she's like, are you faking it?
It's so funny.
But then the lady's like, how's Deb?
And Villanelle's just like, Deb got fat.
It's really funny. And it's all fun and games until the mom is like, you will be careful of Julian, won't you?
Oh my God. The look she gives her too is like, the fuck? And she's like, what?
And she's like, he's a good boy, really. Mm-hmm. And like, Villanelle's like, what do you mean? But then she's long gone again. And Villanelle's like, hey, like, come back.
And we're scared for her. Like, I'm getting more and more scared. Because this man is, like, he's showing signs of, like, being really controlling and really creepy. And he's watching her. And he's not taking care of her, you know?
Yes. And clearly Villanelle does not look well at this point. Like I said, she's getting weaker and weaker, losing some of that control more and more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And then we get to Eve with the interviews with the Peels, right?
Yes.
And she's super judgy of the house.
And then we get to meet Aaron Peele and Amber Peele, and they essentially talk about the plot. The big takeaway, though, here is that they don't recognize the picture of Villanelle. Mm-hmm. So Eve is like, then it wasn't her. So she's, like, super excited.
Yeah, and Carolyn's really cute. She's like, stop it, Eve. I can feel your excitement.
And she's like, I knew it. I knew it. A new girl.
I love it. And then Carolyn's like, perhaps, or maybe it's someone so good she's been operating undetected for a while.
Oof. And then she says Villanelle will be furious.
Oh my God. Because at this point she knows that Villanelle is alive, right? Because yes. Of the whole thing that happened at the hospital. But I think she's also really excited because she called it, you know? Because yes. She knows Villanelle's kills. She knows them. And I think that's so impressive.
I think to me that almost harks back to the I know her better than she knows herself.
Oh my God. I love it. Oh my God. Yes. Oh. And then, you know, we're back to Villanelle, who's trying to escape. She's going around the house, and she's trying to unlock, like, the windows or whatever, and everything is locked. And I'm like, scary man, I hate it. I'm like, run, girl, run.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then we are back to Eve, who's talking with Jess. And, you know, they have this whole kind of thing where they talk about, like, what kind of woman does no one ever pay attention to and stuff like that. And at the same time, we're seeing another kill take place, right, of the ghost. And she has, like, kind of this, I think the main line of it all is, like, it's the kind of woman who people look at every day and never see. And they both kind of have this understanding, right, that it's, like, women of color, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, like, the social commentary of it, though, I feel like is almost too on the nose.
Yeah, and I think it's very noted that, like, the... Like, I get that they're talking about, like, the classism of it, the racism, the sexism. And, you know, we're seeing how someone of a lower class, especially a woman of color, can essentially be ignored, right? But that is so on the nose. And the fact that you have, like, two women of color, you know, having this conversation out loud as they're trying to deduce, like, who could it be? And it's like, okay, like, two women of color wouldn't have to have that conversation. It would just be a knowing thing, you know?
Yeah, I think the big thing also is that these lines were written not by a woman of color.
No. And I feel like someone who is, like, a woman of color should have been more... Like, I'm not sure if Sandra Oh got to have a say in this, but I feel like she would have wanted something better. You know what I mean?
I just... It doesn't feel like it goes with the show. It feels very... Just on the nose, I think, is just the phrase that I'd say.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel as authentic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just and really then strange.
You pair it with the kill, right? Which I don't like this kill, not just because it's not a Villanelle kill, but I feel like the way that the man dies is really overacted.
Yeah, I'm used to like killing Eve kills being kind of like a slap in the face, or just really shocking. But I feel like this one is like kind of boring.
I think it's kind of like exaggerated. Like you see the man kind of throw himself at like the window and like. I don't know, it feels almost cartoony to me.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, not in love with it. I do think it's really funny, though, that they do decide to call this new assassin the Ghost. And then earlier in the episode, we have Villanelle say, like, I hate ghosts, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
I think it is kind of funny. But anyways, we have Villanelle continuing trying to escape, right?
Yes, and we see that she has, she finally got a pad, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's using it with, like, some antiseptic to kind of... as, like, a bandage, right, for her wound. But when she does this, though, when she stuffs, like, the towel in her mouth, and she, like, groans, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
It has me feeling some type of way.
Yes. We transcend to the queer plane of existence. Oh, my God. It's just so fucking good.
The stuffing of it in the mouth is what really, like, imagine if instead it's Eve's underwear that she's stuffing into her mouth. And the groaning is of something else that's happening. Oh, my goodness. Oh, this got very not safe for work very quickly. You can't blame me. I'm a Scorpio. Okay.
That's really funny. But yes, I love when she fucking groans in pain. But also, I hate that she groans in pain. Poor baby. But,
But yeah, then she, you know, we see her in the kitchen kind of digging through the drawers. And Julian comes up behind her and is like, what are you looking for? And she's a kitchen knife, and he says, what for? And she's just very honest. She's like, to stab you with.
And he's like, okay. Like, looking a little nervous, because I think he's like, I wouldn't put it past her to do it, maybe? Like, I don't know her that well. But he's like, I hold control in this situation.
I think he's also like, even if it's a joke, it's not funny. And I'm gonna let you know it's not funny by not laughing.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm also gonna like deprive you of the thing you need, right? Because she's like, are you going to the doctor? And he's like, he kind of like snaps at her. He's like, can you like please just stop badgering me for 5 minutes? And he's like, I'll bring you back some flu tablets.
Ugh.
And it's like, she's clearly given you a list and told you what she needs, like fulfill it. And Villanelle looks like really annoyed and also very scared because she's becoming more and more vulnerable and she's like locked in.
Yes, I think she is reaching like a new level of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, after he leaves, she sees the phone. So she goes to call and like, as she's like dialing, she looks like she's so impatient. Like she just wants the call to go through already because she's just so desperate for help. And she ends up calling the 12, right? You know, the person that answers is like, hello, Dozen Incorporated, which is really silly because Dozen is 12.
Yeah.
Get it?
It's a little on the nose. I like it, though.
Again, on the nose, but I thought it was cute. And then she says, it's Cher Horowitz. I failed my driving test. And the man on the phone says, I'm sorry, Miss Horowitz. We haven't got anyone here who can help you. Which, oof, she got fired, essentially.
Yeah. And then they hang up. And then this girl looks really worried. So she makes another phone call and she's like, can you patch me through to MI6? And the girl's like, we can't disclose that number. And she's like, I'm going to blow up the House of Parliament. And like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like,
yeah.
And so she finally gets through and they're like, state the name of the person you want to be connected with. And she's like, Eve Pilastri. Mm-hmm. And she gets it again, mm-hmm. you know, like, sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. And she keeps saying like, Eve Pilastri, you know, Eve Pilastri, until she gets so like stressed out that she's like, Eve Pilastri, you piece of shit. Like she's just screaming into the phone. Right.
And at this point, Jillian comes back and she like, she's like, fuck. And she like tries to get the phone, but it doesn't fully like latch. And she, but she like darts to the living room and he comes in and he like sees the call. Like she was probably trying to make a phone call and he like takes, puts like the phone back on the receiver and he just rips it out of the wall. Like no contact. And I'm like, God damn it. Like this dude is so fucking creepy. And he's reaching a new level of terrifying.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh my goodness. And while we think about that and how creepy he is, let's go ahead and take a break.
All right.
I need a moment. We'll be right back.
And welcome back.
Welcome.
So we pick up right where we left off, which is Eve debriefing with the team about the new assassin, the Ghost.
Yes, and this is where she says that they're not going to be calling her the Ghost.
Mm-hmm. And they clarify, it's like, it's the exact opposite of Villanelle. She's careful and anonymous. She's meticulous and discreet. And I love this because, once again, it's a juxtaposition, right? And Eve is so excited. And the fact that she relates everything that the Ghost does back to Villanelle. Like, she's like, this is what the peak assassin is. Like, putting her on a pedestal. And she's like, and here's another one.
Definitely. She definitely puts Villanelle on a like, assassin pedestal.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're beginning to realize that Eve is low-key, like, a whole-ass genius. And I'm really enjoying that.
Yes. I love seeing Eve working, right? Mm-hmm. It's great. But, you know, then she says, like, we are working on the assumption that this is a woman, late to middle age, looks like an immigrant worker, so she's not white. And then, of course, Hugo interrupts and says, what makes you think that? And Eve says, the fact that you just interrupted me mid-sentence makes me think that.
I do like that she calls him on his pretentious bullshit, but once again, still feels very on the nose.
I agree. But then, which this part I think is really funny, is when Jess is like, we'll be focusing on the Ghost from now on. We can rule out Villanelle from this investigation.
And Eve panics.
Yeah, she's like, hold up. What?
She's like, wait, what? Like,
yeah, she's like, not entirely. And Jess is like, why not? We don't need her anymore. And Eve doesn't know how to respond to this.
Because she's like, in what world? She's like, why am I here? Like-
yeah. It's really funny, though, because she can't find a real reason as to why they would keep, you know, trying to investigate Villanelle when they're, like, focusing on the Ghost now. But the thing is that it's true, they don't need her anymore, but Eve needs her.
Mm-hmm. And Kenny's really cute, because he backs her up and he's like, she might know something about the Ghost. A true friend. True ally.
A true, like, wingman.
Yes. But then, you know, of course, like, in the middle of this debrief, Carolyn pops in and she, like, whisks Eve's away because, you know, her girlfriend called. And Eve is like, oh my, like, we need to go now? Like, and they leave.
Yes, and so she listens to the recording of Villanelle screaming, like, Eve Pilastri, you piece of shit. Which, I'm always really frustrated because it's taken so out of context, right? Because it sounds like Villanelle is angry. It sounds like Villanelle is calling Eve a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Eve's mind, she's like, well, I just stabbed her. Like, that's the last interaction we had. She's angry about that. When in reality, Villanelle is not angry about being stabbed at all. And she's actually, like, not calling her a piece of shit. She's just really stressed out because she wants Eve to come save her.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. I think it's really funny, too, because, like, Eve stops, right, where she's at. Because she's like, oh, shit, she is angry.
Yeah.
But she's not, you know?
Crazy. Yeah. But I think it makes me wonder, like, how much of the recording, like, Carolyn had. And how much she decided, like, I'm only going to let her listen to this part. You know?
Yeah. Ugh, but then we transition to Villanelle at the dollhouse. And it's murder time!
Yeah. So, you know, Julian asks, like, who she was calling. And they kind of argue. Villanelle lies and is, like, kind of just tries to make something up. And she's like, it was a surprise. Like, I was gonna get you cake.
Yeah, to say thank you for everything you've done. Because he starts screaming. He's like, what do I get? What do I get? You know, like... And it's like, dude, you're not entitled to anything, you know? But as soon as she makes up the cake thing, he's like, oh my God. And he's like on his knees in front of her. And he's like, what must you think of me?
And she says in a Russian accent. Oh, I love it. She says, I think you're going to bleed to death. And I'm like, yes, girl, get him.
Oh my god, I'm so ready. And then, you know, she essentially, like, flings him away by kicking him. Mm-hmm. And they start, like you know, grappling and wrestling and stuff. And he actually, there's a point where he, like, punches her in the stab wound.
Yes.
And our girl, like, crumples. And I'm like, no!
Yeah, and they're just kind of going back and forth. The mom is just kind of there watching slash not even being here. Mm-hmm. It's really, really stressful because we know that she can take him, but she is so weak right now. She grabs, like, a thing and, like, hits him in the head with it and, like, kind of runs and struggles to open the door. He, like, grabs her and they kind of just, like, go back and forth, right? Until she grabs, like, a knitting needle and just fucking stabs him in the neck.
Oh, my God. And this man is like, oh, my God. And as he, like, crumples into a chair, right?
Yes.
She, like, looks at me and she's like, that's what you get, Julian. Like, that's what you get. And I'm like, fuck yes. That is exactly what he gets. He's not owed anything except this nasty murder, right?
Oof. Oof. I love it. He dies and it's so satisfying to watch because mm-hmm. I hate him.
Which means we are finally at our favorite segment. It is time to rank that kill. On Rank That Kill, we break down a villainella kill and discuss her fashion, persona, weapon of choice, flair, and most importantly, the psychopathy of it all.
Oof. This is an interesting kill.
Very much so. All right, fashion.
Fashion, oof, poor baby, is probably wearing, like, the mother's clothes.
Oh, yeah.
She does not look well at all. I give it a 2 out of 10.
Same. I would a 2 out of 10. All right, persona.
Persona, you know, her name is Elizabeth. She's being abused by her stepfather. You know, she might have tonsillitis, all these things. I think it's so impressive that she kept it on for so long. Right? It looks like days have passed. And even, like, through all the suffering and the fevers and, like, being terrified of, like, this man, of the ghost, of everything, she kind of just kept this act up. And I think that is super impressive. So I give it a 10 out of 10.
I am impressed by it. I think it is good. I give it a 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it is impressive. Not, like, her best one, but still really good. I think the point where I'm really impressed by her is when she wakes up first thing in the morning and she's clearly, like, not well. And Julian's watching her and she immediately sees him and is, like, flips on the persona.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's really impressive.
I think to me also when she finds the grandmother and Julian, like, stops her from, like, killing her or whatever,
mm-hmm.
she responds in that British accent, you know, even though she's clearly, like, kind of off guard and, like, startled.
Yeah, I think she does a really good job. All right, flair.
Flair. So I really like the buildup and kind of, like, the desperation as well as, like, kind of fighting throughout the house while, like, the mom and the dolls are watching.
Ugh.
So I like it. I give it a 7 out of 10.
I give it a 5.5. I think it makes me really sad to see her struggle. I do like the build-up to this kill because it makes me really hate him. And so, like, the excitement of getting to see her finally kill him and just the very stunted, like, stabbing with a knitting needle is really, really nice.
Yeah.
Because there's no weapons in the house, so she truly has to improvise. Mm-hmm. And it's such a bloody kill to see it, like, drain from his neck. Yeah. So, pretty solid. I think it's really funny looking at this kill versus, like, Gabriel, right? You know, we spent a lot of time with both of these, like, victims. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Gabriel, the longer we spent with him, the more we liked him. But the more we spent with Julian, the more we hated him.
Mm, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I think pretty good overall. 5.5 for me. All right, weapon of choice.
Weapon of choice. So it's the knitting needle. I think it's really satisfying. I like how quickly she kind of thinks on her feet. Like, as soon as she saw it, she grabbed it and stabbed him. Like, there was no hesitation. Mm-hmm. I also like that, you know, a knitting needle is usually used to make soft and comfy and, like, comforting things. And she used it to murder someone.
Yes. I give it a 5 out of 10. What do you give it?
An 8.
An 8? Oh! You give it such a, I think I ranked this kill pretty low. But, yeah, I really like the knitting needle. I think it kind of comes out of nowhere, but I enjoy it. I think I like the idea of it making something soft. That's really cool. Yeah. And then finally, psychopathy.
I really like it psychopathy-wise, because I feel like we see a different side of her, like, more desperate, kind of her lowest low, and more so acting in self-defense than anything else. I also think it's kind of one of those situations where, like, what happens when you put two psychopaths together?
Yes, which we're going to see later on, you know, which is exciting.
Yes. So I think that's really, really interesting. Like, how does she, a psychopath, you know, probably, presumably, whatever, deal with another psychopath. And kind of the tug and war of, like, the control between the two, and then her finally, like, gaining the upper hand and all these things, I really, really enjoy. So I actually give it an 8 out of 10.
Cool. Once again, I scored this pretty low. I gave it a 5 out of 10. I think she does a really good job manipulating him. I think it is a lot more self-defense. I don't know if, like, psychopathy-wise, like, as a psychopath, I don't know if it reveals a ton. But seeing her in survival mode and how she interacts with another psychopath is fascinating. I like how she still gets the upper hand in the end, which, of course, I love. Because if he got the upper hand, she'd either be imprisoned or dead, which is not okay. So, yeah. So what is your total for this kill?
My overall score is a 7 out of 10.
So, mine is a 4.9.
Oh, my God.
Mine is pretty low. So, this is the Julian kill. Cool.
All right, so let us know how you would rank this kill.
Yeah. All right, so next we have Eve and Carolyn. And Eve is on her way to see her girlfriend, right? And we're like, at least I'm screaming at this point, like, get your girl.
Yes.
And, like, when the first time I saw this episode, I was like, oh, my God, they're going to see each other. Oh, my God, she's going to rescue, like, her girl, you know?
Yes, and then they're going to have this whole, like, hurt comfort, like, scene. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. Okay, yes.
But instead, we see Villana, like, stumbling out of the house, like, clutching onto her wound. And, like, the mom is, like, right behind her, like, wanders off, which I think is really silly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Villana sees, like, a car that has, like, the flashing, like, headlights kind of signaling to her. And she kind of hesitates at first, but then ultimately does walk towards the car because it's, like, what else does she have? Like, where else is she going to go?
Yeah. And so she gets in, and we meet Raymond for the first time. Fucking Raymond.
Ugh.
So this actor, Adrian Scarborough, I think that's how you say his name, he has also been on another Phoebe Waller-Bridge show. He played Colin on Crashing. And if you've never seen Crashing, I highly suggest it. I didn't think I would like it initially just on the context of it, but really give it a chance because, first of all, it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge content.
Mm-hmm.
So the writing is phenomenal, and the characters are really organic and really fun. But the character of Colin on that show is kind of paired up with this another character named Melody. And he and Melody have a really similar relationship. I feel like that's like a template relationship or like characters to what eventually becomes Eve and Villanelle. So I think it's fascinating, right? So definitely go check him out. I think it's really cute that he is someone that has been like planted into this show.
It is really interesting. Also because Colin and Raymond are drastically different characters.
Yes, definitely.
So I watched Killing Eve first before I watched Crashing. So when I watched Crashing, it was just really strange to see this actor play Colin.
Yeah.
But y'all should watch the show. It's also really, really funny.
Yeah. So, you know, Raymond clarifies that he's there because, you know, Villanelle called. And he's like, yes. Oh, that was not safe on an unprotected line and everything.
Yes. And then she has this great, great line where she says, I've had a really shitty couple of days and I really, really need to go to a doctor. What I don't need is a boring stranger in a Volvo giving me a lesson on how to use the phone.
And, like, she's, like, screaming at him at the end, which I fucking love. And then he's like, fine, go. He's like, no hair off my back. But then when she tries to, like, click and get out, he, like, goes back and forth with her, like, unlock, lock. Because he's a fucking asshole.
He is. And I think this really shows that, like, she went from one prison to another.
Yeah. Like, she's completely locked in. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I hate it. And then he fucking chokes her. Like, he, like, like, he slams across and, like, grabs her neck and, like, slams her against the window and chokes her. And he's like, you are on a very tight leash from now on. And I hate that. She's just a servant, you know? She's just a dog to serve their will. And I hate it. And she looks so defeated. And, like, she finally has medication, but, like, at what cost, you know?
Exactly. Like she's a prisoner to the 12, you know?
Yeah, and then they finally drive off, and Eve is there, right? And, like, Eve is in the street looking down, like, trying to find her girlfriend, right? And Villanelle's right there, and I'm just, like, screaming at this point, like, shaking the TV, because I'm like, Eve, turn your head to the left and look at your girlfriend, like, save her. Oh, my God, I'm devastated. And, of course, the Unloved song starts playing, which is, like, you know, if, and it says, if I gave you my heart, would you take it? If I gave you my heart, would you break it? Oh my God. It's the last time we heard the song was when they were in bed together before Eve stabbed her. But those feelings are still there. That longing is still there.
Mm.
Oh my goodness.
It really breaks my heart, honestly. Because I'm like, they're so close, so close. It's so frustrating, and it's like a sweet, sweet pain, you know?
So, oh. This happens a lot in the show, though, where they're, like, so close, but then they're just, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. But then Eve does walk up to Julian's house, and she finds him, and, you know, he's dead, and he has the toilet brush in his mouth. Which is a nod, obviously, to their very first, like, date night, right? When Eve tried to use a toilet brush as a weapon, which is cute. But I've also seen people online say that this is a message to Eve saying, like, this was self-defense.
Yeah, because, like, and this is, like, the best she could do, right? Yeah. Like, the best it could do was a knitting needle in the throat.
Yeah. Regardless, we know that, and Eve knows that, Villanelle killed Julian and is letting Eve specifically know, like, I was here.
Yeah. Which I think is a very intimate thing to do.
Definitely.
And then somebody says at the scene of the crime, too, he said, and then someone at the scene of the crime, right, makes note and says, he, Julian, is still warm, meaning that Villanelle is still probably close by. So yeah. Eve, like, goes running out of the house and is like, we need to find her. But she's like, she's gone. She's fucking gone. And she's like, damn it.
Yeah.
And we're devastated for her because we know Villanelle's gone. Fucking hate it. I hate this feeling of, like, the tension, the buildup of it, and then it not happening, you know?
Yeah, it's like, never mind. I was gonna make some really inappropriate comment.
I could sense it.
I think I've said my inappropriate comment for this episode already. We'll save it for next week.
And then that's when Carolyn, you know, juts in, and she says, there's someone you need to speak to.
So they go to Carolyn's house, and Kenny is, like, all grumpy. And the reason is because Carolyn reveals that not only is Constantine alive, but he is in Carolyn's house.
Oh my god. And he says, hello, Eve, with, like, a small little smile, and the shock on her face, and, like, the look that she gives Carolyn. Amazing. I think it's really funny, though, before, like, it's revealed that Constantine is, one, alive, and two, in Carolyn's house, Carolyn, like, turns to Eve, and she's like, promise you won't be cross. Mm-hmm. She's like, doesn't know you're gonna be upset with me. Like, I need you to, like, kind of work with me on this one. Yeah. You know? And that's how the whole fucking episode ends.
Oof. Oh my goodness.
This episode was wild.
It was definitely something.
This is not one of my favorite episodes, I will say.
What are your overall impressions?
When I first saw this episode, I was really devastated that Eve and Villanelle did not meet. And I feel like that would have made me love this episode. But instead, it really frustrated me. Because instead, like, the whole episode, there's just this gross man. You know what I mean?
Yes, which I feel like the whole Julian storyline or little tiny plot line felt very different from Killing Eve. Like, it didn't feel like Killing Eve to me.
Mm-mm.
Overall, I feel like it hurts my heart to see Villanelle so weak and vulnerable, but I did like seeing her kill Julian. And I think it goes again to kind of, like, this different kind of psychopath that kind of was just existing in the wild and what happens when two psychopaths get together. And I think something that this season in particular focuses on is that, like, different kinds of psychopaths, right? Like, different ways psychopathy takes form. You know, because we have, obviously, Villanelle, we have Julian, then we're going to have Aaron, and then ultimately Eve as well.
Yeah. I think that's really exciting. I think another thing in this show that I did enjoy a little bit was the social commentary, but I do feel like it's too on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of struggle with it, but I'm happy that there's an attempt, I guess, but the follow-through is not great.
Definitely.
I do enjoy the constant juxtaposition, you know, showing how far Villanelle has fallen, and knowing that, like, her ascent is going to be amazing.
Definitely. I'm definitely excited to see Villanelle dressed up again and feeling, like, more herself and better. Like, we have not gotten any, like, of those amazing Villanelle outfits this season yet.
Ooh, but honey, we're coming. Episode 3, we're gonna get some great outfits. And I'm very excited. I also like the juxtaposition between Villanelle and the ghost. That flamboyant versus discreet, right? Yeah. That, like, excited versus, like, subtle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for them to explore that and to kind of dive deeper into that as the season goes on. So,
yeah.
Overall, not a huge fan of this episode, but I'm excited for the next one.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Not my favorite, not the worst. We'll get to the worst. But still excited for what's to come.
Oh my goodness, yes. And that's the show.
We done did it.
We done did it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. We post new episodes bi-weekly, Sundays at noon Central Time.
Please share this podcast with a friend and leave us a review so we can continue growing. If you would like to support our show, please consider buying us a cup of coffee at ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/wearitdownpodcast.
You can follow us on social media on Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram at wearitdownpod. Email us if you have any questions or comments, or if you just want to say hi at wearitdownpod@gmail.com.
Bye.
Bye.